is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Scott Nagy, head men's basketball coach at Wright State University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Linsing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel, back from Maine.
So yes, I want to thank Jason for
back to our original
in.
Jason.
Hey, but I have a bone to pick with both of you.
Okay,
both
what is
of
it?
You. Okay, right. So I listened to the podcast. I listened to it. Okay, taking the commercials out and whatnot. The podcast was about 40 minutes. Yes. I listened to it once, and I was like, I feel like they just talked about the Bucks the whole time, and they didn't say anything about the Suns. I went back and listened to it a second time. Do you want the breakdown? I got the breakdown right here.
This isn't going to be surprising to me, but go ahead.
It was 40 minutes long. For 32 minutes, the focus was the Bucks, and you talked about the Suns for 8 minutes of the podcast.
Sounds about right.
I am offended. I'm offended.
All right, well, I'm going to expect to hear a lot of Suns talk from you tonight.
Well, you're going to hear a lot of Suns talk because I don't think there's any way they lose this series, Mike. The Bucks are a mess. A gobbledygooked mess. There's zero chance. You can't tell me you have faith in the Bucks at this point, right? I know you've been riding the Bucks all the way through. But after watching this game tonight, where they clearly had at the start of the game, they had the Suns. They had them. I mean, it was early in the game. They were up like 7. But then they stopped. I don't know. Giannis came out of the game. Middleton and Drew Holiday. By the way, Drew Holiday, I may as well be out there. Drew Holiday dribbled the ball around. He was like terrible. Now, defensively, he was great. But offensively, they set a stat. Like, we're halfway through the second quarter. You're like, Drew Holiday last game only took 9 shots. He's already taken 11. Yeah, he's taken 11 shots. But he was 3 for 11. He's god-awful. Chris, I think at one point the two of them combined were 5 of 20 from the field. I don't know what they ended up being because I didn't look at it. I mean, I just don't think there's any way the Bucks win this series. I'm willing to say that right now. The Suns are going to be champions of the NBA. And the Bucks end up winning 4 out of 5 to end this, because there's no way your 6-game series is not happening now, Mike. Agree or disagree?
I mean,
the likelihood of them winning four in a row, I'd say, is fairly small. And yet at the same time, that only involves them winning one road game, which they're going to have to do to win the series anyway. I'm going to give you, you just gave us the Bucks glass half empty, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I don't disagree with anything that you said. Let me just piggyback on your glass half empty theories. So Middleton was horrendous tonight. I mean, absolutely just, I mean, he was horrendous. I know he hit one or two shots in the second half that were, I don't know, I guess you could call them important shots, but he goes 5 for 16. He goes 1 of 6 from three. He doesn't get to the line. He just, I mean, if he's, again, we've been saying this for what, 3 years? Is he good enough to be the second best player on a championship team? It's looking like the answer to that question is no. I mean, he's had some big games and they wouldn't be here without him, but night to night, you have no idea what he's going to give you. And tonight was trick or treat. You didn't get a good Chris Middleton game. Jrue Holiday defensively was unbelievable. I mean, he was everywhere. He had the two blocks, the huge block on Booker on the chase down where the rest of the Bucks decided not to run back down the floor. And then the block on Ayton as he's going to the basket. And then pretty much anybody that he was on, he was able to neutralize. Didn't matter if it was Chris Paul. Didn't really matter if it was Booker. He basically erased those guys when he was on them. The problem is they can't clone him and put five guys out there that play as hard as he does defensively. And yet on the offensive end of the floor, I mean, he was getting point blank shots. I mean, he's right at the rim. I mean, he's knocking guys out of the way. He's getting to the basket. It seems like he can kind of get to the basket anytime he wants, but then he shoots a layup and it's always like he's got spin on the ball and it rolls around the rim and it doesn't go in. And just, I mean, he's got to finish better. He has to finish better. When he's going 7 for 21, it's just, you just can't have it. And then I'll continue my same thing that I always like to text you. He just can't dribble. Like the number of times that him and Middleton just have, I don't want to say completely unforced turnovers, but situations where you never see high quality, all-star level players just dribbling the ball off their foot or getting it poked away from them as much as these two guys. And look, they're never going to win combined. The two of them shot, what, 12 for 37. I mean, you're not winning with your second and third best player shooting 12 for 37. So I would agree from that standpoint that it doesn't look good on that front. And if those two guys aren't scoring, there's really nowhere else to turn. I mean, Connaughton hits 4 threes tonight, which kind of helps keep you in it. But every shot he takes is wide open. It's almost like you'd like to see him shoot the way the Suns shot the ball tonight. So if you're Milwaukee and you're thinking, or you're a Milwaukee fan and you're looking at the downside, you're looking at Ken Middleton and Holiday, are they good enough? And I think the answer seems to be, at least in Phoenix, the answer seems to be no.
Mike, can I just say one other thing? Like, sure. Giannis had 42 points tonight, and I know you guys talked at length how he looked right. I texted you at the beginning of that game, and he was being aggressive. He doesn't look right. He's not like they keep talking. Like even the NBA announcers, oh, he looks really good. I'm like, I don't know what Giannis you guys are watching, quite frankly, because he scored 42 points, great, but every single time he falls to the ground, he winces in pain. He is not right, and he's gonna try to play. He's gonna fight through it. And the one thing I will say is Milwaukee, the way the schedule is lined up, they get 2 days off before they have to play again, and that happens again. That happens in between. By the way, NBA, we're trying to drag this crap out or what? Like, come on now.
I know there's three different
This is ridiculous. This is so stupid. This is, like, I understand, like, they're trying to draw it out so that the season ends and then the NBA their draft happens right after. But come on, guys. Like, we're really going to do this whole song and dance of 2 days? Like, If this is dumb. This is dumb in my opinion. If this is how they were going to do this, what they should have done is they should have waited till today to have game one. That's what they should have done, Mike. They should have just waited and not have this 3 days in between games. It's like, I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, are you serious? Like, so like, they play Sunday, then they play on Wednesday, then they play on Saturday. Like, what in God's, like, what, who's coming up with these ideas? Like, I think they're stupid. Anyways, that's going to work to their benefit because Giannis is going to get an extra day off. But I just, you know, you got Giannis scored 42 points tonight. He got to the line 18 times. He shot 11 of 18 from the line, which, like, I'm not trying to, like, that's not terrible for him. I think, like, you obviously want him to do better than that. But at the same time, like, he could have easily gone 5 for 18. So, like, but that's, I think, the thing is we look at this and Giannis scored 42 points tonight and you still couldn't win a game. Like, if Middleton and Holiday are play a better game, then he's not going to score 42 points, right? Like, he's not going to score 42 points. So
he only took 22 shots. I mean, he's 15 of 22 from the field. So it's not like, I mean, he's hyper efficient other than the fact that he can't make 70% of his free throws.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying, like, if you're the Bucks, now I want you to give me the other side. What's your glass half full? Because I look at this and see the Bucks shot. Let's see, the Bucks shot 23 times from the line. Phoenix only shot 14 from the line, or 14 free throws. The Phoenix was 12 of 14 from the free throw. Did you hear the stat that said that they're on pace to shoot the highest percentage in NBA history from the free throw line in the playoffs?
Well, and I think they were the number one free throw shooting team in the league all season long, and they were pretty close to the all time team record. I don't know if they have it, but they were pretty close. I know that they're a really great foul shooting team. There's no question about that. So, let me give you the glass half full for Milwaukee. So, I disagree with your point on Giannis. I mean, I do think he is falling down. He is wincing, but there's nothing in the way that he's played in these first two games that would indicate to me at all that he's being hampered by the injury. I mean, he's not shying away from contact. He's still going 9 million miles an hour on the fast break with his giant long strides through traffic, running over guys, rebounding in traffic. I mean, yeah. Is his leg hurt? Is his knee hurting him? I'm sure there's pain in his knee, but I haven't seen anything in his performance that would lead me to think that he's being compromised in what he's doing out on the floor. Is he feeling pain? Yes, but is it impacting the way he plays? Is he tentative? I just don't see it. I mean, what he's doing, what he did in game one when nobody expected him to play at all, and then what he did tonight. I mean, they have no answer for him. Phoenix can't guard him at all. I mean, they have no answer. And the answer is to foul him. I mean, anytime he gets near the basket, I mean, they should just grab him because he's gonna score. And I think honestly, what I've seen in these two games has given me even more respect for what he does. Now, look, it's a problem that he can't shoot. It makes it a lot harder for him to score. I mean, if he could just shoot a pull-up 17-footer, if he could make those little mid-range where they're backing off him, it would make him almost completely unguardable. But still, as it is, he's 15 of 22 from the field. He makes enough free throws to keep him honest where they're not going to just keep hacking him on purpose. He's not below 50%, and he's got a positive plus-minus for the series. So I think he was plus one in game one, and tonight he was plus three. So when he's on the floor, they're plus four for the series. So they're winning. They're playing winning basketball when he's on the floor. And he's the only guy – I think he's the only guy tonight that has a positive plus-minus, and I think it was exactly the same the other night. So Giannis is going to continue to get – as you said, there's more rest – whatever pain he has, he's going to continue to get treatment. He's going to continue to get better. At this point, I have no doubt that he's going to show up for, if there's only two games left in the season or there's five or there's four, he's going to show up big in every game. I mean, I don't see a situation where Giannis has like a 14-point game. I mean, I just don't think Phoenix can guard him. And I think he's reached a level where he's going to do whatever he can to try to help his team win. Now, his skill set, the fact that he can't shoot it, I think makes it harder for him to impact a game than the guys we normally think of as being, hey, just get the ball to him and he's going to do whatever he wants to do. And there were moments there when he went on that run in the third quarter where it kind of felt like that, even though he's not shooting jumpers. So I guess the positive for Milwaukee in the Giannis phase is, one, he's healthy, and two, I don't have any doubt at this point that he's going to come up big in the remainder of this series. Now, whether him coming up big is enough to help them win, that I don't know. But I know that he's going to show up every single game. I have no doubt that he's going to have a good game every time he goes out there. So that leads me to the second point where glass half full is you come back home and your other guys are going to play better at home. The Milwaukee crowd is going to be juiced up, at least for game one. I mean, if Milwaukee loses game three, then game four, who knows? But for game three, the Bucks Arena is going to be, it's going to be electric for game three. And you would have to think that Middleton and Holiday and whatever, Connaughton, Forbes, Portis, whoever they end up playing off the bench, PJ Tucker, you got to believe that those role players typically play better at home. And look, usually you get a good game from either Middleton or Holiday. Tonight you got neither, and they still had it to five again in the fourth quarter, same way in game one. They had it down to seven. And I don't think the Bucks have played well, honestly, in either game. I mean, I don't think they've come close to playing the way that they're capable of. Now, you can also say, when do they play close to what their capability is, right? I mean, I can't remember the last time that Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis all had a good game at the same time. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And if it ever does, the Bucks are borderline unbeatable offensively when those three guys are going. But they haven't been able to get them all three going almost at all during the playoffs. So I guess the point here is if they go home, I think the role players play better. And then conversely, you look at the Phoenix side of it, and Phoenix goes 20 for 40 from three. And you said it off the top that, I mean, think about that first quarter. Milwaukee was making things really tough on Phoenix to score, right? But what happened? They just get one or two extra passes.
I don't know how you feel, but I love watching Phoenix on offense because they're moving the ball constantly. Like, I know sometimes they'll go to Chris Paul ISO or Devin Booker ISO, but that's a matchup situation. But when they get in those situations where they're passing the ball, it kind of reminds me of those San Antonio Spurs team that would just move the ball so well. Like, they just know where the ball's going, and they do a really good job. I don't know how you feel on that, but I just...
Yeah, I mean, they're far more Chris Paul dominant in that he walks it up, he backs the guy down, and then once the ball gets moving, then I agree. But they don't always start possessions that way. They more often start it with Chris Paul getting seven screens to try to get the matchup that they want, which has worked, and I think it will continue to work because they don't want to have Holiday on whoever the guy is that's trying to create, because Holiday has pretty much shut that down. But yeah, once the ball gets moving, they do a great job of continuing to ping the ball around the perimeter from guy to guy to guy until they find that opening and find that open shot. But they made some really, really tough shots, specifically more so in the first half. It felt like Crowder and Bridges hit shots that, I mean, look, they knocked them in, but they weren't easy looks. And then in the second half, you just had Booker shooting a bunch of threes right in guys' faces who were right there. Credit to Booker. He was tremendous in the second half. But if you take it and you say, hey, role players, secondary players are going to play better at home, then Milwaukee plays a little bit better with their guys three through two through seven, whatever, and Phoenix plays a little bit worse. And the margin, I think the margin of victory, the fact that the Suns are up 2-0, I know that they've kind of controlled things, but it's still, it feels like Milwaukee is like right there. Like they just need a missed three here, or they need to not turn it over when they get a steal there, or Bridges needs to miss a three, or
on the other side of the coin, though, I mean, Booker had 31 tonight, but do you think Devin Booker really played that well tonight?
Yeah, I thought he played well in big moments. I mean, I thought when they needed a big basket, I thought he was there to deliver that for him. I didn't think he played very well in game one. I mean, he went 10 for 10 from the line in game one, and I didn't think he was very good.
Well, tonight, he wasn't good in the first half tonight. He was better in the second half, but in the first half, I mean, he started 1 of 6, I believe, from the field. And he ended up shooting 12 of 25. He was 7 of 12 behind the arc, which is huge. And like you said, the Phoenix, they hit 23s tonight, you know.
Versus- yeah, you're not going to win. You're not going to lose many games when you go 20 for 40 from three. I mean, when you're shooting 50% from three, you're probably not gonna lose many games. Cam Johnson goes 2 for 4. Torrey Craig, before he goes out, is 2 for 3.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com.
I have an exercise for you, Mike. All right.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to pick, I want you to pick, say who you would pick from each, like players from this series. If you had to pick a starting five, I want you to pick. Now, I obviously know who the number one pick is. I think we can agree on the number one pick, right? It's Giannis. Okay. So who would you take of all the other team, of all the players on Phoenix and all the players in Milwaukee, who would you take second?
Man, I guess you have to say Paul, though. I would have a hard time passing over Booker and what he's been able to do, but well, I think you got to take Chris Paul second.
My point is, I think it's Paul and Booker are the next two picks, right? I mean, you'd flip-flop one way or that's 2A and 2B, in my opinion.
I trust those guys to play well more consistently than I trust Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton to play well.
Okay, so then here's my next one. Who do you take next?
Man, I don't know. I think you take Middleton.
I think you take Middleton, and I think you take Ayton with the fifth pick. And I know Ayton didn't play huge tonight. He was double-double, but he just affects things in a way that, like, and I loved that coaching moment that Monty Williams said they showed on the broadcast tonight, like, where he was talking to him and just telling him, hey, play your game, be aggressive, take it, do what you need to do, play your game, such a yada, 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 very coaching moment. And I will say, I feel like I will give ABC some props. I think they're using those coaching things way better this series than they had in previous finals, because a lot of times it was just them talking in gobbledygook. Or maybe it's just the quality of the coaches. I don't know. I think Monty Williams is a really good coach, and obviously, I don't know. Did we hear anything good from Budenholzer? Oh, wait. He said just play random or something like that, didn't he? say that?
It was something to that effect, yeah.
Oh, God. That guy, he's definitely getting outcoached for sure, in my opinion. But, you know, once again,
it's still, though, to a large degree, it's a make or miss league. I mean, think about the number of layups that Jrue Holiday had spin off the rim tonight. I mean, five, six. I mean, layups. I mean, point blank layups that he just missed, and it put spin on the ball, and it rolled around the rim and rolled out. I mean, Middleton had some looks that normally he knocks down. Bridges and Crowder hit a bunch of tough corner threes with guys running at them. And, you know, you swing three of those shots each way, three more go in for the Bucks and three less go in for the Suns, and it's a different game. Like, I don't feel like Phoenix has dominated Milwaukee in any way, shape, or form. I feel like they've controlled both of these games. And if I was a Suns fan, I don't know that I would have felt like ever completely threatened by Milwaukee, even when they were making their little comebacks in the fourth quarter.
The turning point in this game tonight, Mike, was if Connaughton hits that three just with under five that he missed, if he hits that three or swings the ball to Tucker, listen, when Pat Connaughton took that three, I looked at the body language of P.J. Tucker. He clearly should have had the shot. Connaughton should have swung one more time because P.J. Tucker, and I can't believe I'm saying this, P.J. Tucker in the corner is a much higher percentage shot than that Pat Connaughton three. And it would have, and you could just tell Tucker was, they were, that missed shot deflated the Bucks.
That was about with 4 minutes to go, maybe something like that.
I think
that.
It was like 4:53 or 4:54 because I rewound the play because I thought I saw Tucker like slump down, like his shoulder, like you could tell he was frustrated. Yeah, he did it, and that's the only reason I rewound it. I'm pretty sure it was like 4:50 something. Just under five.
And then right after that is when I think the Bucks were on a break, and Connaughton tried to throw a skip pass across,
and it went and Ayton stole it.
Ayton intercepted it. Ayton was kind of coming back as the he was trailing the play as a defender, and I don't know, Connaughton didn't see him. I think the Bucks were down. They might have been down seven at that point, and then I think the ensuing possession, I think
the offensive Phoenix rebound,
came down.
Offensive
yeah, Phoenix came down and had a bunch of offensive rebounds and eventually made a three, and it was just a
Chris Paul hit the three after the Ayton offensive rebound. So yeah,
there were so many plays like that where it felt like the Bucks are on the cusp. And Phoenix just made a big play. Again, Ayton could have been doing what the Bucks players were doing when Jrue Holiday had that block on Booker. And you jog back and you think, the guy's just going to score. Or, hey, Milwaukee's got the advantage. They got numbers. And instead, Ayton's hustling and getting back and making the play. It's not a matter of – I mean, the Bucks, I think, have done things that have not helped them. But I also think Phoenix has played well. Like, Mikal Bridges is great tonight. I mean, great shooting the ball, put it on the floor just enough, made good passes, was confident. Chris Paul didn't play as well as he did in game one, but he just – you could see where he would be completely annoying to play against because you're just getting 15 screens to get the guy that he wants on him, and then he gets in and he's strong and he's crafty and he knocks in those little mid-range jump shots. And he just knows where the ball is going to be. In Phoenix, it feels like Phoenix is always going to get into something to get them a good shot. Compared to Milwaukee, always seems like they're kind of rudderless, and you have no idea from possession to possession what you're going to get out of them. Whereas like with Phoenix, it's like you talked about earlier. Yeah, Chris Paul's bringing it up, and he's bumping with a guy, and he's getting it into up by the top of the key. And then once the ball starts moving, once they get the advantage that they want, then it always seems like they're able to get a good shot. And Milwaukee, it doesn't necessarily always feel that way. But I don't think it's over. Now, does Phoenix have an advantage? Obviously, they've already won two games. But I think Milwaukee goes home. I think their home crowd. I think the fact that Giannis is going to continue to be – I think he's healthy, so I don't even know if it's worth discussing his health unless he were to tweak it again. But I think Middleton and Holiday play better. And if they don't, I mean, they just don't. I mean, they have no chance. I mean, they have no chance. If those guys are going to shoot 35% from the floor, they're just not going to win. And to me, I think the Holiday piece of it is more disappointing than Middleton, because I feel like this is who Middleton is. Like, he'll have games where he's going to get 20 and a quarter, and he'll probably have one in this series. He'll probably win Milwaukee a game in this series. But he also has games where he just kind of disappears, and that was tonight. But Holiday was just, I mean, he can get to the rim whenever he wants. I mean, he's so strong, and he's just bowling guys over, and yet he got in there and just couldn't, for whatever reason, just couldn't finish. And it always looked to me like he was putting too much spin on the ball, and that's why it was rolling off the rim after it hits the glass. But I expect those guys to play better at home.
Okay.
I mean, does the Torrey Craig Saric injury, do those two injuries, if Torrey Craig, I mean, we didn't hear what happened to him.
I tried to find anything. I haven't seen anything on him
yet. Yeah, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything either that I've seen. But so if those two guys can't play, does that eventually have an impact in this series? Do you think that has any impact?
Well, I don't think Saric's injury, because he was playing, how many minutes was Saric playing? Like
12, 14 minutes probably.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think Torrey Craig's a bigger blow. Definitely a bigger blow, but yeah, there's no updates on him yet. They say right knee contusion is what the most recent thing I see, which I don't know. It didn't look like a right knee contusion to me, but whatever. So I think Torrey Craig's a bigger blow, but once again, the problem that they have is now these are two guys that are eating 12 to 15 minutes that now they have to find someone else to eat those minutes because so what does that mean? Does that mean Frank Kaminsky is going to have to play? I mean, I guess.
I mean, Ayton played 42 minutes tonight. You know, so you're looking at, you got to survive. You got to find 6 minutes of center play, or play, go small and play without a center.
Well, you got
Cam Johnson picks up a few more minutes, and you just, I mean, again, come on, you got to win two more games if you're Phoenix. I mean, just stretch guys out and let them play as many minutes as they need to be able to tighten the rotation, and just let those guys play as many minutes as they have to in order to win two more games.
Yeah, that's why I agree with that. I think that's what you have to do, because, I mean, I'm trying to find out who Jalen Smith, I don't even know who that guy is.
He's a draftee this year. He hasn't played hardly at all the whole year.
Yeah, so he's not.
I mean, they're just going to. I mean, again, you just tighten the rotation and you move on. I thought tonight, in terms of adjustments and doing things differently, I did think that, you know, the Bucks tried to get Holiday to fight over screens as much as possible, as compared to game one where they were just kind of letting him run into the pick and then getting a switch, which I thought was effective. Again, it's just not effective when the ball zips around the perimeter and then guys are banging home threes at a 50% rate. And on the Phoenix end of it, you know, they did a great job. They continue to just try to find the right matchup for Booker and for Chris Paul. I mean, Jrue Holiday can only be on one of the two, and it seemed like whichever guy he's on had a really hard time doing much of anything, but whichever guy he wasn't on was able to kind of get to their spots and do what they needed to do in order to be able to score. And so I don't think, look, if those two guys are going to continue to play this well and Milwaukee can't figure out a way to disrupt them, and offensively they don't get more out of their second and third best players, I mean, the series is going to be over. Milwaukee has to win the two games at home. I mean, if they win the two games at home, now things start looking a little bit different. And I think game one, there's going to be a lot of energy. I would anticipate Milwaukee getting off to a fast start in game one, and we'll see if they can hold that. But that's what I think happens. I think Milwaukee gets off to a fast start, and I think they win game three. I don't want to say easily, but I think they kind of go wire to wire in game three, and then game four becomes the swing game, because if Phoenix wins that, obviously it goes up 3-1. It becomes really, really difficult. Then Milwaukee's got to win two out of three in Phoenix, which doesn't seem like it. I don't think they're built for that. I know they did that when they played against Brooklyn, but I don't see that happening.
So what's your prediction for the series, Mike? I mean, I know you're going to pick the Bucks. So how many games is it going to take?
I mean, I think Milwaukee's going to win the next two. So I guess I'm going to go Bucks in seven. I can't see the Bucks winning four. I can't see them reeling off four in a row. I think it goes Bucks win the next two, Phoenix wins game five, the Bucks win game six, and then comes down to a game seven, and at that point it's a coin flip. You take your chances, and Giannis is going to have to be the best player on the floor. And you know, think back to his game seven against Brooklyn. He wasn't the best player on the floor in that game, but he put up 40 and whatever, 16 or 17 in that game seven against Brooklyn. And it's going to take that same kind of effort for, he's going to need to score 30 plus, I think, for them to have a chance in any of these games, because you just don't know what you're getting from the rest of these guys.
I sent you a text before the podcast last time. I want to be clear, you didn't say what I said, but I want to be clear, I did send you the text. I have the receipts for it. I said Suns in seven. I'm going to stick with that, although I wouldn't be overly surprised if it was Suns in five. But I'm going to stick with my Suns in seven pick. But like I said, I won't be surprised if it's Suns in five. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it was Bucks in seven. I think there's zero chance this series goes six games. It's either going to be five or seven, and that's what I'm going to stick with. I don't think there's anything else. There's no sweep coming. This isn't the 2007 Cleveland Cavaliers. But I think it's either five games or seven games.
I think Milwaukee rights the ship, at least in game three and four. I think they win their two home games. And then at that point, all bets are off. You could tell me any scenario And I believe it. Look, Phoenix has proven themselves. When we think back to our discussions during the regular season, I think I said, are they an imposter number two seed? And I think they've answered that question pretty well. I mean, I expect Paul, Booker, and Ayton to show up every game, right? I mean, I don't think that any of those guys are going to have a complete stinker of a game. So those three guys are going to be there. Now, I don't expect Crowder and Bridges to play the way that they played tonight. I mean, if they do, it's lights out for Milwaukee. But I think that, as I've said a couple times, I think Milwaukee's role players play better. I think Holiday and Middleton shoot the ball better at home. I think the crowd gives them some energy. And I just think these two teams are too evenly matched, and Phoenix just has no answer for Giannis. I mean, they just can't guard him.
So one thing I want to say is I think it's pretty, you know, we talk about are they an imposter or not. I think we can go back to the statement, if Anthony Davis is healthy, we're not having this conversation, right, Mike?
I think the Lakers probably beat Phoenix. Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, and once again, I know conversation isn't going to rub you the right way. If Harden and Kyrie are healthy, there's no way the Bucks are beating the Nets, right?
No, I mean, if that team's chemistry is right, then no, I don't think there's any way that, I mean, Milwaukee, I mean, you're seeing the faults in Middleton and Holiday.
Yeah.
That against a better team, and that's nothing against Phoenix, it's nothing against any of the teams that they've beaten, but I don't think that, let's put it this way, neither this Phoenix team nor this Bucks team, whichever one of these teams wins this title, neither one of these teams is going down as one of the great NBA champions of the last 25 years. Nobody's under any illusions that these teams are tremendous, tremendous, tremendous teams from a historical perspective. I mean, it's going to be a great title for whichever team wins this. I mean, if Chris Paul wins it, it obviously changes his legacy and the way that he's remembered and the way that his career is thought of. And if Giannis wins it and he's a two-time regular season MVP, I mean, I think at this point it's funny. I don't know if you read any of the stuff that there were people that predicted the Bucks to win, that more than half of the people that I saw, I think it was on the ESPN or maybe it was the Ringer, I can't remember, but the people that picked the Bucks, more than half of them picked Middleton as the MVP of the finals. I think we can probably safely put that to bed, that if Milwaukee wins this thing, Middleton is not going to be the MVP of the finals. So for Giannis, again, two-time regular season MVP. If the Bucks win this, he's probably a finals MVP. And what's he, 25, 26 years old with a lot of runway still ahead of him. And that's not to say, I mean, I think either one of these teams that wins the title, neither one of them is going to be a favorite next year to win it. I mean, they'll certainly be among the contenders, but they're not going to be the favorite just because they won this year's title. So there's definitely legacies at stake. There's definitely interesting historical ramifications to this series. I mean, as there always is with the finals, and it defines guys' careers, whether or not you win in the playoffs and where you rank and all those kinds of things. But for both Chris Paul and for Giannis, important stakes as you look at how they're going to be thought of and how their career will be remembered. So remains to be seen.
We'll just have to see what happens.
All right, game three. Give me your quick score. What's the score of game three?
I think it's closer than you think it's going to be, but I think the Milwaukee Bucks will win game three. I'm going to say one. Let's go. By the way, they've played six games the last 2 years between the Bucks and the Suns. The over has hit every single game. Bet the over. I'm going to say 113-105 Bucks. And it's probably closer than that, but they're going to make free throws down the stretch or something.
I'm going to go 121-106 Milwaukee.
Okay. Right.
So I think Milwaukee wins game three. And as I've said, I think they win game four. And then from there, I don't know. I'm going to have to see where we're at and what transpires in those two games before I really get a feel for what's going to happen from that point. But for right now, I'll stick with Bucks in seven. You'll stick with Suns in five or seven. And it's been I think it's been an interesting tactical series. And I think it'll continue to be a good series to watch from an adjustment standpoint, from the way that the series is played, and they're two interesting and flawed teams, and that's, I think, what makes for interesting basketball. So thanks for everyone checking us out tonight. We appreciate it. We'll be back after game three on Sunday night, and we'll catch you on our next episode. Don't forget, we also have an episode out with Rob Brost, the head boys basketball coach at Bolingbrook High School. That episode also dropped. Well, it's dropped already as we're recording this on late Thursday night into Friday morning, but make sure you check out Rob's episode in addition to this wrap-up of Game 2 of the NBA Finals, and be ready to listen for our next one on Sunday night, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.